World Football at AFCON.
Welcome to World Football at AFCON. Hello from me, John Bennett. Great to have you with us. The Africa Cup of Nations is back and we will be with you throughout the tournament, releasing one of these shows after every match day. The drama, the excitement, the big talking points with reaction and analysis from some great guests, including these three AFCON veterans. Joining me today, the Ghanaian broadcaster, regular voice on the BBC World Service, George Addo, former Cameroon, Newcastle and Tottenham defender, Sebastian Bassong, and former DR Congo captain, AFCON semi-finalist, Gabriel Zakuani. Hello to all of you.
Hello, John. Hello. How you doing?
Hello, John.
Seb, your bags are packed. You're off to Ivory Coast. How's the packing going?
Honestly, I haven't started yet. You know, I'm a last minute guy and my wife is asking me, when are you starting? I said, don't you worry, I got this. But I got to change that habit. Everything's going to be ready for me to go and I can't wait to get there.
It's a country you know really well. How excited are you about Ivory Coast? How good will the atmosphere be?
The atmosphere is going to be amazing. Ivory Coast is, as most of the African countries, a country of football. And now they're hosting the AFCON. So, you know, I think that there's a big responsibility onto their shoulder, but it's the infrastructure, everything is ready to welcome the AFCON. And I'm sure it's going to be amazing and we can't wait to get there.
George, AFCONs are a bit tough to get to for travelling fans, but Ivory Coast, neighbours with Ghana, with Burkina Faso, Guinea, Mali. So do you think lots of fans will be making their way across the border to watch the games?
Yeah, I think loads of fans will be going in there. I've been speaking to a few, you know, Ghanaian supporters who are preparing to go through the western region of Ghana. And I know even for a country like Nigeria, people still flooding to Ivory Coast. So we should expect a lot of fans, especially down the West African side. Quite a number of them will be there.
Gabby, cast your mind back to when you were a player. Not that long ago. I was a bit rude calling you a veteran. What were the last few days before the tournament like? How tense were you? I'm going to remind you that I think once you went on strike, didn't you, a couple of days before an AFCON. So what was it like the last few days before kickoff?
Yeah, it's always tense. You know, you're always looking forward to the tournament, first of all. But there's always things going on, you know, especially, you know, the history of the AFCON. There's always payment issues or politics going on as well. So you do what you need to do to make sure everyone's looked after. The preparation for us players in Europe is completely different to the ones in those that played in Congo. So there were some issues and yeah, we had to set our stall out just before the tournament started to make sure we all got what we needed. But I think a lot of that is for the local players more so than us. You know, we can survive without a few payments, but for them it's life, you know, it's life-changing sort of money that they're depending on. So yeah, I decided to call a strike and we was in a gym downstairs and we all locked ourselves in when just before training, and there was a game the next day, and then an envelope was slid through the door just before the training session, so the strike worked.
I remember you sending me a video of all the players. I think you must have been locked in there. That was the room, and all the players saying, yeah, we've got some news before AFCON. How did you get on in that tournament though?
No, that was the one that we actually did very well in. You know? So we got to the same final. So it must have been the perfect trick, really. I think it got us all together. We were all singing from one sheet. As one of the captains on that trip, you know, I made the manager very aware what we was doing, so he wasn't blindsided. And he sort of told us to just do what we needed to do and hold a stand together. So he was involved in it, even though maybe in the press he made out, you know, we weren't supposed to be doing that. But he was on our team because he also wanted to get what he needed to get from the tournament.
Yeah, Seb, things like that, it doesn't often mean bad tournament, does it? Bad preparation doesn't often mean bad tournament.
No, not at all, especially when you talk about Cameroon. You know, I think we are the best in terms of bad preparation for a tournament, but it doesn't really necessarily mean that you're gonna play in a bad way. As he said, you know, that sticks you, that brings you all together, that you have the same goal, you sharing things. It's an experience. And football is a collective sport. So you know, you need one another, and sometimes people are lacking ways to get people together. And whether it's through a strike or through sometimes when you do team building, that's what team bonding, that's what it's there for. So for Cameroon, honestly, we've been there all the time. And even now, in a way, we are in a bad situation. Before tournament, we kind of struggled to get through, but here we are. So now I think for African countries, it's a standard.
You're the kings of drama, Cameroon, and we've got some drama to talk about a bit later on. I cannot wait to get your thoughts on Andre Onana. This is the preview show, so we'll be going from group to group, giving you some of the key issues and matchups to be looking out for in the group stage. We'll get some predictions too. I know Seb hates making predictions, but we're going to talk about not only who we think is going to win, but our dark horses. So an outsider, a team that's not one of the favourites who we think could make a surprise run to the latter stages. I never get this right. In fact, some have cruelly said that I curse teams and give them bad luck when I pick a dark horse. I'm thinking Austria at the Euro 2016, Mali at the last AFCON. Maybe this will be the tournament when my luck changes. I'm not going to tell you who it is yet, but I will say, Gabby, it is not DR Congo, my prediction for dark horse. Are you happy about that?
Yeah, I'm buzzing. That means you'll probably win it now because you haven't picked him.
Right, let's get into our tournament preview. To make things a little bit more dramatic as we go group to group, I've given Seb and Gabby, I've given George a challenge. Basically, he's going to give us a little introduction, a whistle-stop tour to every group, but you have to do it, George, in 45 seconds for each group. Mm. Happy with that?
Yeah, happy.
Okay, so here we go. Group A is Ivory Coast, Nigeria, Equatorial Guinea, Guinea-Bissau. Time starts now. Go, George.
Ah, you started right. Group A, we've got two former champions right in there with Ivory Coast and Nigeria. Ivory Coast are the hosts led by the head coach Jean-Louis Gasset. They won the competition in 1992 and 2015. They were knocked out only at the round of 16 by Egypt on penalties. So they'll be looking forward to doing well with the likes of Sebastian Haller and co in there. Nigeria are three-time champions, 1980, 1994 and 2013, led by Jose Pacero. They have been runners-up, yes, 1984, 1988, 1990 and 2000. They'll be looking to get it work. Equatorial Guinea, fourth place finish is the best they have done. Guinea-Bissau, four times they have been in this competition. We'll be hoping to get it right here. That's your group A.
I'm not sure how you managed to do that. Time was up right at the end. You managed to fit it in.
I got it.
I was worried when you hadn't got to the last two teams.
I was going there, yeah.
With 10 seconds to go. So, Ivory Coast then. The Golden Generation, Seb, seems like it was a long way away. So they had since they won it in 2015, group stage exit, quarterfinal exit, last 16 exit in the last three tournaments. They do still have the likes of Serge Aurier, Max Gradel, who are still there from the AFCON win 2015. They've had some decent results in 2023, five wins in eight. They drew against Morocco as well. Seb, with home advantage, do you think Ivory Coast should go a long way?
With home advantage, yeah, they should. They should, because that gives you an extra boost. That also puts you an extra pressure, especially on the continent. But overall, for me, when you play at home, every team want to do well. But you have this extra bit of motivation, extra bit of purpose that should get them, with the quality of their squad, should get them far further in the tournament and even for the whole environment of the tournament. If Ivory Coast doesn't go far, I think that'll knock a little bit of the atmosphere of the tournament. So that's why I want them to go far.
Gabby, George mentioned there some of the players they have. They do have real quality, but they used to have stars, didn't they? The Drogba and Yaya Toure. It seems like it's more of a team unit this time, not one star standing out. Could that be an advantage for them, do you think?
It can, but I'm looking to go the other way as well. You know, at home advantage is a massive advantage, but also if you don't get it right the first game, that first game is so important. It can turn very quickly. They expect to win. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they're qualifying. I think they will be favourites to get through the group, at least. But I think they could freeze under pressure, because before we talk about that Golden Generation, these are players that are used to playing in big games under pressure, big tournaments. But now I'm not too sure that they have that same, you know, that same fear factor that they had against other teams. So teams won't be too afraid of them, and they will have to come out and make sure that they win that first game, at least to make sure it's a little bit more smoother.
I think they played well in the last competition. They were just unfortunate there in the penalty shootout to be knocked out. And I think that they can build on from there. So Ivory Coast have been putting a team together, like you say, no big names. I think that they can be, you know, the side that goes, you know, quite far in this competition. And of course, we need the hosts in the competition. Can you stay till the semi-finals at least, Ivory Coast?
Nigeria then. Tough last few years since third place in 2019. Last 16 in 2021, but they failed to qualify for the last World Cup. George is happy about that because he's got a smile on his face. They lost to Ghana in the playoffs. They have won the stars of the tournament, Victor Osimhen, but they've got some injury worries. Wilfred Ndidi has pulled out. Victor Boniface has pulled out. Gabby, looking at this Nigeria squad, are you confident that they could challenge? I mean, you said in the trailer for this show that you thought Nigeria one of your picks to maybe go all the way and win it.
Yeah, I think so. I think what every team needs is a striker that scores goals, and Victor Osimhen hasn't disappointed so far. And this is his stage. You know, he wants to claim that best player in Africa title, and his goals will be important. But I think the injuries will play a part because that's where they lack. I think they need a midfielder that can just keep things ticking. They definitely will be one of the teams to watch out for, having the attacking force that they have. It's not just Osimhen, you know, you've got Lookman in there as well. You've got players that can get involved. Iwobi, who's been in good form. So it is a team that you would look forward to, but it's just, can they keep them out at the other end?
On the other end, we were talking about Ivory Coast. For me, Ivory Coast got a strong defensive base compared to Nigeria. And when you get to AFCON, you know, Gabby, we don't score many, many goals. Going forward, they got what it takes. But to go far in the tournament, you need defense win you titles. You know, attack can win you games. And that's where I kind of not doubt about Nigeria, but I think it's going to be tough for them. Because Victor Osimhen, people cannot rely on Victor Osimhen because he's not going to be in Napoli. It's Nigeria. It's AFCON. It's a different context. So I don't know how quick or how well it might be doing because the service is not going to be the same. I would doubt a bit about Nigeria, my neighbours.
I'm not convinced about the coach, I've got to say, José Peseiro, which is a difficult thing to say because I might have to interview him during the tournament, so I hope he's not listening. Have any of you guys chosen Equatorial Guinea or Guinea-Bissau as a possible dark horse? Anyone? No? Is that your dark horse? No? Everyone's shaking their head. So we will move on to Group B, Egypt, Ghana. Oh, here we go. Cap Verde and Mozambique. George, let me get my clock. 45 seconds to go through. Group B starts now.
Group B has Egypt, seven-time winners of the competition. They've got Mohamed Salah, who has missed out at least two times in those finals in 2021 and 2017. They'll be hoping to try and get this one sorted out. Ghana's won the competition four times, but of course, the last time was in 1982. There has to be a mighty awakening in this one, hoping that Mohamed Kudus can lead them. We're yet to see. For Cape Verde, their quarterfinals in 2013 was the best in the four appearances. For Mozambique, they've appeared four times, 1986, 1996, 1998 and 2010, and still are looking to make it into the next stage of the competition. This is a good group, could be.
You've got 10 more seconds.
10 more seconds, I'll tell you.
That's all right, you can stop earlier. Well done, you're doing really good. I should have only given you 30 seconds.
If I had 10 more seconds, if I knew I had 10 more seconds, I was going to have two more lines to Ghana, but it's all right.
Have a rest because we're going to get your thoughts on Ghana in a moment. Egypt, though, failed to qualify for the last World Cup. They haven't won AFCON since 2010, but they made the final. 2017, 2021, so close, so many times in recent years. Seb, Mohamed Salah has never won AFCON. Does this feel like his moment? A bit like the World Cup, it felt like the moment for Lionel Messi to complete that historic win that he needed. Is it the same with Mohamed Salah, do you think?
It could be. It could be. In an ideal world, when you're a football fan, that would be an amazing fairy tale story. You know, Mohamed Salah has been trying hard and then towards the end, he gets it. But I don't think it's going to be the case because of the competition, because of the home advantage for Ivory Coast and the other team that, for me, Egypt is not favorite. I'm not sure this one's going to be for Mohamed Salah, even though as a football fan, I would love to see him, you know, lifting the trophy because of what he represents, what it means to him, what it would mean for football, for the man that he is. But football is not that easy, and especially on the AFCON.
I would agree with that. I think in an ideal world, it's a fairy tale. You know, if he gets gets his hands on that. But it just won't be easy. I'm looking at, I think this is probably the most unpredictable AFCON. You know, we have so many teams that could potentially win it. And Egypt, I think they're just not quite in that top bracket, in my opinion, you know, to win it. But I think they will get, obviously get out of the group. I think looking at the group, I think they'll definitely get out of the group. But I think, could this be the year for Salah? We hope so. I think as football fans, but I think it's just out of reach.
I really like their coach, Rui Vitória. I think he's doing a good job. I think it's only one defeat in 2023, beating the likes of Belgium and Zambia in 2023. He seems to have the confidence of the fans and the players. But we've given George enough time to rest before getting his thoughts on Ghana. He is so pessimistic. But before we get the thoughts of George Addo, let's hear from a couple of Black Stars fans who have been in touch with us.
Hi, my name is Isaac Yawuranjo from Ghana. My question is, do you believe in the Chris Hughton's plan for the Black Star? And do you think the Black Star will go far in this AFCON 2023?
My name is Festus Enim from Abeka, Ghana, West Africa. Ghana is going to win this year AFCON, and my star player will be Mohamed Kudus or Ernest Nyoma. Thank you.
Yes, that's right. You can give your views throughout the tournament on World Football at AFCON via WhatsApp. You can send us a voice note. So the number is +44 800 032 0470. We'll give you the number again at the end of the show. Send us a voice note. We'll play them out. Don't forget to include your name and where you're getting in touch from. So, George, question from Isaac there. Do you have faith in Chris Hughton?
Yeah, I mean, not 100% faith in Chris Hughton. I mean, perhaps 40% based on what has happened in the last nine 40%? Games.
40%?
Yeah, in the last nine games, we have not looked good. And we have played, as you say, minnows on the continent. No disrespect to the likes of Ethiopia, Comoros, you know, Central African Republic. We've not done well. Even in just the friendly we played, the final friendly before the AFCON against Namibia, we couldn't score a goal against Namibia in Kumasi. That's how bad it's gotten. He's not been quite able to get the attacking element of the team together. And so Ghana has not been playing with a lot of flair in terms of scoring. We may have a Ming's defence, but it's not good enough to win the AFCON.
And Mohamed Kudus, latest on his injury. It's a worry. There's reports he might miss the first game. What have you heard?
Yeah, so it means after the Arsenal game, he had a slight hamstring, which you're watching. Coach Chris Hughton did say that he's going to take a bit of time to join the squad. He joined the squad later. The question will be, is he ready to risk Mohamed Kudus against Cape Verde? Or he will try to keep Mohamed Kudus for Egypt, which is the second game, because we play against Cape Verde in the first game. And they are all tricky games. And looking at the way the team is playing without the attacking element, you need people like Kudus on the pitch.
Mozambique, Cape Verde, anyone's dark horse? Anyone? No, we still haven't got any dark horse selections yet. Group C then, Senegal, Guinea, Gambia and Seb, Cameroon. We're coming over to you shortly to get your thoughts on Cameroon. But George, 45 seconds, start now.
We've got Senegal, the holders. They won it not long ago. They're looking really, really good as well. They've managed two silvers in the campaign, hoping that Sadio Mane and Alusis here and the grab of the guys will be able to take them all through. There's also Cameroon. Don't dare Cameroon at any AFCON. They've won it five times and they've done it even when they didn't look like they were winning in 2017. They've got Rigobert Song. Don't worry what happens between Rigobert Song and Onana. They'll find themselves there somehow. Gambia, their only appearance was a few years ago. They managed to be in the quarterfinals. They are appearing again for the second time. For Guinea, runners up in 1976. They're looking like, Sega Jureshi will actually find a way for them. Ah, and they've just been in the quarterfinals 2004, 2006, 2008, and 2015.
That's it. Time is up. Nearly. You nearly got in.
Yeah, nearly, yeah.
Right, Seb, let's get to the big story about Cameroon. Andre Onana. So Manchester United want him to play for them against Tottenham 24 hours before Cameroon's first game against Guinea. Yeah. What do you make of that? Is that at all possible?
It's out of order from both sides. When Manchester United is requesting to Andre Onana to do such a thing, for me, this is disrespectful from Manchester United, first and foremost. And second of all, this is really low from Andre Onana to just not even to even consider it, because that sends such bad message, not only for Cameroon, but for the respect that people will have for the AFCON, for our the way they should treat us, you know, the equality. And if we don't even respect ourselves, how can you expect other people to treat you any different? For me, that's Andre Onana is shooting us in the foot. He's shooting himself in the foot. If I was in the squad, I wouldn't have that. You can't play a game the day before and think that you're going to fly out and then comes on the continent and play another game. Just the thought of it for me is just totally insane. Just the thought of it for me drives me crazy. From both, I'm so disappointed. But for me, you got to teach them a lesson. And whoever you are, Andre Onana, and I've said it many, many times, I like Andre. I always have his back when I have to. But when things like that happen, the nation, the pride of the country and the continent is way above an individual person. And for me, you should stay home and you should get punished for that just by the thought of it, that you can do it.
Interesting. We'll see how this develops. It would be remarkable if you play in one country and then travel to another country to play a game within 24 hours. We'll see how that develops. Right, we have to race through these groups now. Group D, Georgia, Algeria, Burkina Faso, Mauritania, Angola. Go.
Algeria have won the competition twice, latest in 2019. Runners up twice as well. They're being led by Jamal Belmadi, of course, and Riyad Mahrez, and they're hoping that they can go all the way to make it work out. Angola have had 8 appearances in the competition so far. The best has been the quarterfinals in 2008 and 2010. I remember when Ghana beat them right in their own country. Burkina Faso are one to really look out for. Runners up in 2013 and as well made it even to the semi-finals of the last AFCON, finishing fourth in 2021. They've got some really good players and it's a team that can really do a lot. How about Mauritania? 2 appearances in the Africa Cup of Nations 2019 and 2021. I'm hoping to come and put out some think that this is a really, really interesting group. And here in this group, I have my dark horse.
Time up. Wow. Dark horse. Who's your dark horse?
Burkina Faso.
Why?
Hey, me too.
Burkina Faso. Gone there as well.
Yep. They're such a progressive team. Such a progressive team. But they need to get, the thick skin to do the big things when they are right in the semifinals. That's just it.
I really like that they got individual players, really quality players. They're playing big leagues, but for me, when you do play AFCON, you need that spirit, that African spirit, because you got, as we said last time, we need to transfer the way you play in Europe that to the way you have to play in Africa. And the Burkina Faso players, for the ones I know, the what I watched playing, they do that ever so well. So it's a continuous evolution. They're improving year after year, and I think that could be their year. That could they're definitely, for me, they're my dark horse, and I see them not as favorite, but just underneath and in the shadow, chasing people without being noticed. This is the best position for them to go find the tournament.
Gabby, you're remaining quiet. We need your dark horse soon. Is it coming? Is it coming soon?
No, you skipped past them. It was no. Guinea. Guinea is my dark horse. I was waiting for my dark horse.
We have to rewind. Go on, yeah, Gabby. Why Guinea?
I think Guinea because of the amount of goals they score. I think with AFCON, the issue is it's always so tense. It's always so tense, and teams play very cagey. And the odd goal, and then you see a lot of time wasting going on. But this Guinea team, they go for it. They score so many goals, but the only problem is keeping them the other end. But they seem to outscore a lot of teams. And I feel that they've got a new way of playing. And for me, it's going to be a free-for-all every time they play. They'll look to outscore teams. And I just think it'll bring a freshness to the tournament.
So, Gabby, Seb and George have revealed their dark horse. It is time for me to reveal my dark horse. It comes from Group E. I will reveal who it is shortly. But first, George, take us through Group E.
Mali, yes, runners up in 1972, but at the moment are being led by Eric Chelle. They're playing some beautiful brand of football. They'll be hoping that this is the year they can go all the way to win it. Let's talk South Africa. They have an experienced manager in Hugo Broos, who won it not long ago with Cameroon in 2017. The likes of Percy Tau, South Africa will hope that they can replicate the heights of 1996. There's Tunisia, always efficient at the AFCON, won it in 2004, runners up in 1965, 1996. They're hoping that with the very experienced Youssef Nsakhni, they can try and do something here. There's Namibia, 2 appearances. This will be the second appearance at the Africa Cup of Nations. The last one was in 2019. And what will Ivory Coast offer for Namibia? Something. Maybe they'll be looking to get out of the group stage at least.
Perfect. 45 seconds. Yeah, my dark horse, I'm sorry about this, South Africa. it's you. And I'm not saying they will win it, but I think they will go further than people think. Why? Because their coach, Hugo Broz, builds a siege mentality, excellent team spirit, AFCON winner with Cameroon, as Seb knows very well, 2017. Some good results as well last year. Wins over DR Congo, sorry, Gabby, and Benin as well. Draw with Ivory Coast in Ivory Coast. South Africa, I really apologise. You are my selection for Dark Horse. Right, last but not least, because Gabby has his DR Congo in this group, Group F. George, over to you.
Yeah, and don't forget, DR Congo are two-time winners of the Africa Cup of Nations in 1972 and 1968. Oh, that's some way out, but don't worry. They're looking to make it in this competition and do well. Morocco are here as well, won the competition in 1976, the first country to make it to the semi-finals at the last World Cup, and are hoping to build on from here. They've got some great talent to look forward to there as well. We've got Zambia. They have Avram Grant, who led Ghana to the 2015 final. And Zambia, of course, won the competition in 2012 and are building very nicely as well with what we saw in the qualifiers in the build-up to this. Zambia is another one to watch out for. And there's Tanzania, who have been to this competition three times. They've been knocked out in all of that, but we're hoping that this time around in Ivory Coast, there's good luck.
Time is up. Brilliant. Right on 45 seconds for your last one. Well done, George. Yeah. You did really well there.
Yeah.
Right, Gabriel Zakwani then, your team, DR Congo. I know you're involved at youth level with the national team. How well do you think DRC can do at this AFCON?
No, I think they've been a lot of people's dark horses. I tend to stay quiet with them because I want them to build nice and progressively. I think since Sebastian de Sabres took over, it's been pretty solid. His aim was not to make AFCON, because we lost the first couple games and it was difficult. But he's managed to grind it out and to start showing what he can do as a manager, bring some stability into the country, and everyone loves him. And I think players like Chancel Bemba stepping up, being named the best African player in France last season, which is something massive. Now, we still got players that you know of, Bakambu, who scores goals left, right and centre. So we've got Wissa. So there is talent in that squad. There is talent. And I think getting out the group and then seeing what happens is sort of the aim. But I'd like to think at least the quarters, and then from there, anything can happen.
A game against Morocco, that will be a real test. Do you think they'll fancy that game? They'll be up for that one?
No, I don't think they will. I think because of the last World Cup and the playoff, we got demolished by Morocco, you know, and that was a real eye-opener. And I think because of Morocco's World Cup exploits as well, it shows that they're just getting stronger and stronger. It's not a game you probably would look forward to, but I think that fear factor is still there with DR Congo. You always expect more from DR Congo in tournaments. And I think since 2015, we haven't really kept up that same level. And I think this is the year that I think with a settled manager, settled squad and some stars there with local players, that mix is always important in AFCON, where you have them local players there that who know the country, what the country wants, what the country needs. And with the gel of the quality that you have coming from Europe, it could be the winning formula.
Seb, quick word on Morocco then. Everyone says there's this perception that North African teams, they don't do well in sub-Saharan Africa. But this Morocco team, some of the talent in this squad that got to the semi-finals of the World Cup, Bono, Hakimi, Amrabat, Saïss, Mazraoui, Ziyech, they're going to go all the way, aren't they, Seb, this team? That's rubbish, isn't it, about not being able to play in sub-Saharan Africa?
Right now, Morocco, the only reason why I would see them going far is because of their coach. The manager, for me, is the catalyst. And that myth about not being able to play in that weather, I think he knows a lot about that. He's good at man-managing psychologically on a human level. He's really good. That's why he's been able to get them so far in the World Cup. Not because of the quality of the player, but if you ain't got no shepherd to steer them into the right direction, they would never be able to do it. So that's why I wouldn't even write them off of this AFCON, just because of the manager. He's very intelligent. He knows all the culture and he can master them all. And that's, for me, that's a gift that he has that would make him the star, the superstar of the Moroccan team, and that would help them tremendously to go far in the tournament.
Yeah, he's such an impressive guy, Walid Regragui. I was lucky enough to go out to Morocco back in March and spend a bit of time with him at their training base. And you're right about the culture aspect. You know, he could speak to the guys in all the different languages that there are in the Moroccan squad, because there are many different backgrounds in that squad. And yeah, he is such a good manager. I think he after he decides to leave Morocco, which hopefully won't be for a number of years. I think he's got a fantastic club career ahead of him. Already done well as well in club football. Right, prediction time then. We've had your dark horses. Who's going to win it very quickly? Gabby, let's start with you. Who are you going to pick as a winner?
Oh, this is so tough. It keeps changing every week. But I can't see past Morocco. You know, I can't see past them, I think, because of the World Cup, them going so far. They've got everything built in terms of infrastructure in Morocco. And I think this is their time. I think this is when they go and win it. And I've got someone slightly behind, and it's Nigeria for some reason. I don't know why. I think they will challenge as well. I think they will surprise a lot of people in terms of, we know about their attack and going the other way. They're not so good. But I just think this AFCON will be a lot more open, a lot less fear with the teams. It will be a lot less cagey. So they've got an opportunity because of their attack.
Yeah, I don't forget about the fact that Sadio Mane and Edouard Mendy are playing in Saudi Arabia. Senegal still have got a very good team. They've got a good team looking there. I think that they can win it. That though said, I'd say that if Egypt and Cameroon make it into the semi-finals, watch out.
Yeah, definitely. For me, Senegal is the favourite. Even though players got away and playing in Saudi Arabia, they're still amazing player, world-class player. And AFCON, it's about the togetherness rather than about the individuals. And that's what people might tend to forget. I would say, if we get to semi-final, forget about it. We're taking it.
No, but John, it's actually true. I've looked at the tenor.
I'm not being biased. No, he's not.
It's factual. I've looked at the tenor for Cameroon and Egypt.
Seb.
No, that's true, man. I mean, Cameroon. If they've been to 8 AFCON finals, they've won 5 of them.
They got knocked out in the semi-finals Egypt, last tournament.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. At home, that's a different issue. Oh. The pressure
was
high.
It was penalty.
And they are better when they go out. They beat a lot of home nations, actually. As a home nation, you don't want to play a team like Cameroon. And that's really true with Cameroon and Egypt. Yeah.
But my favourite, to be fair, as a favourite, I got Senegal. Then I got the Indomitable Lions.
And a dark horse reminder. So Gabby went for Guinea and I went for South Africa. I apologise. And George and Seb both went for Burkina Faso. Thank you so much, guys. Gabby, I'll speak to you soon on the show. Seb, I'll speak to you soon as well. You'll be out in Ivory Coast. And George as well. Well done on the 45-second challenge. Yeah. You did really well. Get involved with us throughout the tournament as well. Send a WhatsApp voice note with your name, where you're from, and your comment. Complain about your team. Praise your team. So the number is +44 800 032 0470. You can find it on social media as well. BBC World Service Sport. We will be back after match day one when Ivory Coast play Guinea-Bissau in the opening match. Thanks a lot for listening. If you want to listen to more World Football at AFCON, go to the BBC World Service website or BBC Sounds and search for BBC World Football at AFCON.
World Football at AFCON is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.